And then we'll be dismissed here. Amen. All right, Acts 18. We have been looking at Ananias and Sapphira. I'm saying Ananias and Sapphira. Aquila and Priscilla. Amen. That's the wrong duo. Amen. That's not the duo we've done. We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about them, amen. That's another group that we don't want to discuss, amen. But anyway, amen, we covered them a long time ago. Acts chapter 18, let's go over there. We're going to go ahead and read verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to talk about something that all of us don't like. What don't we like? Work. Amen. We're going to talk about that just a little bit tonight and see what God's going to do for us. Give us some encouragement here. Acts 18, let's go ahead and read verses 1, 2, and 3. Now that Stephanie left us off with all of those good photos of food, I'm sure y'all are hungry now to get some chicken with some peaches on it with some cheese. Amen. But verse 1 through 3, let's read those together. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Amen. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Lord, thank you so much for what we saw with Stephanie and the things in Hungary, Lord, and what you have done with her. We know only in glory will we see the full aspect of what actually happened there and how the folks received that. Lord, they do like things free, and the gospel is free. And so we do pray that you would use the tracks that went over there in a marvelous way, in a miraculous way, the gospels that were in the hands, the Johns and the Romans. Lord, I pray that they would read that, find the plan of salvation, Lord, even in a place that's spiritually dark. Lord, I pray that they would find the light of Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you so much that we have had the opportunity to see her go there and come back and experience that. And help us as well, Lord, as we reach our Jerusalem here, not be, Lord, negligent in the fact we know we've got lost folk here as well as in Hungary that need the gospel. Speak to us tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I'm going to cover just a few things here tonight in Paul's life. Again, we found out in chapter 17 that Paul had gone to Thessalonica. He's gone to Berea, and then he went to Athens, saw some folks saved there. Now he's coming to Corinth, amen. By the way, if you look in your Bibles, Paul, most of the New Testament epistles are epistles written to churches that Paul started, with the exception of several. But many of them are places where Paul actually went in, preached the gospel, saw people get saved. Corinth is one of those places. By the way, he's gone from the intellectual, which was Athens, now to the immoral. Now, if you had your choice, which one of the two places would you want to be in? Probably the intellectual place, amen. You don't want to be in the immoral place. But believe it or not, more people got saved in the immoral place than the intellectual place. Go figure. Amen. And so Paul is going there. Give you some facts that I gave us already about Corinth. It was a wealthy commercial port city with frequent traders coming in and out and bringing with them all sorts of wealth and as well as filth. The city boasted an outdoor theater that accommodated 20,000 people. Athletic games were second only to the Olympics. They had a Greek, Roman, and Oriental population. The great temple Aphrodite was there, which was said to house 1,000 to 1,500 temple prostitutes used for the temple worship of the gods. And the way Athens was known for being intellectual, Corinth was known for being immoral, and it was noted for everything sinful. If you could think about that. So your most sinful place that you could think of, that's probably Corinth. Amen. So some of the bars and the immoral joints that you could think of, that's Corinth. Paul here comes into this city and he's going to give them the gospel. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was going to find if I'm going into this city, one of the first things I'm going to find is some shelter. Amen. Away from all the sin. Amen. Got to find some place to cover my eyes. Amen. And get some kind of sense of bearings in this city. But Paul, the first thing he does, he comes in here and he's going to get a job. Amen. By the way, why do we hate work? Why do we hate work? Somebody tell me, why do we hate work? Jeremiah? It gets in the way of whatever else we want to do. Amen. Why do we hate work? Joshua? It's hard. Amen. It's supposed to be hard, Sharon. Makes you tired, amen. We don't like work, but you find Paul was no stranger to hard work. Paul said, you know what, I'm going to get into town. I don't have any money, but I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get some work going here, amen. How many love work? Show of hands. How many love work, amen? Now, I like what work does, but I don't like work itself. I like the what it produces, amen. After I get done with work, I like what just happened. But to wake up in the morning and say, I love work. And I just love hard work. I love sweating. I love digging ditches. I love work. Amen. No, I like what work does, but I don't like work per se. Amen. You say, well, why do you do so much of it? Because there's always something that needs to be done. Amen. That's why. And so we don't like work. We hate work. But Paul was no stranger to work. Amen. By the way, when you look at Paul's life here, first thing that we're going to look at here is that Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and working at the same time. What's his goal? To give the gospel out. But what is he going to do whilst he's giving the gospel? Get a job. One of the things you find about Paul was going to make sure that nobody was going to say that, look, I'm paying you to give me the gospel. By the way, somebody shouldn't have to pay you to give them the gospel. Why? The gospel is free. It is without charge. And Paul goes into this town. He says, you know what? Whilst I work, I'm going to make sure I'm giving the gospel out. Immediately when Paul arrived in Corinth, he got busy working. He was never wanting to be accountable financially to anyone who could say, you know what? I paid you for the gospel. Amen. That should never be the case. Amen. Paul wanted to make sure nobody could say that to him. He wanted the gospel message to be free, and he instructed others to do the same thing. By the way, most of the young Jewish men were taught a trade. In addition to their intellectual training that they got, they were all taught a trade. Would to God America could get back to that. Amen. We'd have a whole lot less men on welfare and things of that nature. A bunch of deadbeat dads. Amen. We'd have some men actually doing some work for a change because they actually have a trade to do some work. Amen. By the way, teaching your kids to work hard is noble. It's good and it's beneficial for society. The reason why our society is the way it is right now, because a lot of mamas and daddies didn't make kids work. How many of y'all had to work when you were a kid? Amen. How many of y'all got allowance for your work? Mark, you got allowance for your work? I got allowed to eat dinner. Amen. My parents said, look, here's your allowance. You get food on the table. Amen. Here's your allowance. You get some new sneakers next week for school. Amen. Here's your allowance. You get some new clothes. You get some pens. We didn't get allowance growing up. Amen. We didn't get allowance until my dad had a janitorial service that he started doing. And then he paid us after about 3 years of working doing that. At first, we used to see all these checks. The doctor would leave a check all the time for my dad at the end of the month. And, you know, we would see that money. And we'd say, man, Dad's getting this money. And one day, one of us had the guts to ask Dad, Dad, what's that money for? He said, it's for the work that I do here. And we thought, we thought, Dad, isn't there some we in this check here? Isn't there some we in this check? And then my dad started giving us $20 a month. Amen. But you say, that's all you got? Amen. That's all we got. We work Monday through Saturday. Amen. Every day. This was a typical day for me. I kid you not. I would get up in the morning. I'd go to school. I'd get out of school. I'd go to football practice or whatever sport I played. After I got a practice, I'd go work at Red Lobster. After I got a Red Lobster, about 9 o'clock at night, my dad would pick me up. We'd go to this janitorial service and do work. That was a typical day for me. And I got $20 a month for that. Now, Kenny, I wasn't out in the field like y'all. Amen. I was doing some work. Amen. I wasn't milking no cows. Amen. I wasn't out there, but I worked hard. And then my wife said, well, how come you eat so late at night? Because when we got home, it was about 10 o'clock. Amen. And we'd go to bed. My dad taught me to work and to work hard and to work good as well. Amen. He'd go behind me and he'd check. If it wasn't good, guess what I had to do? I had to do it again. Guess what? He'd come back and check. If it wasn't good, guess what I had to do? Do it again. And I'm thinking, Dad, I'm hungry. It's time to go. And he said, well, you do the job right, we'll go home and eat. And I'm thinking, you holding me hostage here. What kind of idea is that? Amen. I had some friends wanted to stay home with me. I said, hey, y'all, they want to stay over at night. I said, well, we got to go over into the building. They said, all right, let's go. I go over. They said, you do this every night? I said, yeah. They said, we ain't staying with you no more. You put me to work. Amen. What I said, Paul was no stranger to hard work. Neither should we be, and neither should our children be. Parents, don't spoil your kids by giving them a silver spoon in their mouth by not having them do any work. Amen. At the very minimum, they should be cleaning up their room. They should be picking up their toys. Amen. What do I always say in my house? I say, pick up this. They said, Dad, why we got to pick it up? Because it's yours. And because you put it there? Did mama put it there? Did I put it there? So I'm not going to do it. Why do I have to go in the bathroom and clean up a toilet that I didn't soil? Why does mama have to go in? I said, no, you messed it up. You clean it. Hey, teach your children responsibility. Teach them to work. Amen. Obviously, Paul's father or mother taught him to work and to work hard. So he's going into Corinth. He's saying, look, I don't have any money, but you know what I know how to do? I know how to work. Amen. Hey, whatever happened to the days of the paper routes? Well, I know nobody reads the paper nowadays. Amen. Or the days of mowing lawns. Okay, nobody's got lawns. Amen. But you can still pick weeds. Amen. Get out there and rake some rocks. Amen. Spray some Roundup on that stuff. Amen. Hey, you can do something. There's something that your children can do to teach them how to work and to work hard. Why? It's going to benefit them later on in life. Paul here goes out here to Corinth, and he is blessed that he can work, and he finds somebody named Aquila and Priscilla who takes him on, and he begins to work. By the way, notice down there in verse 3, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. Now, Paul just left Thessalonica, he just left Berea, he just left Athens, he comes to Corinth, but I want you to notice what he said to the Thessalonicans. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, Paul was only there about 4 weeks at the max. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And somebody there, whoever gets there first, I want you to start reading in verse number 7. Now, Paul is written back 1 Thessalonians already to answer some questions. And now he's going back to 2 Thessalonians and answering some more questions about the rapture. Katie, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10 for me. Amen. That's where we get the phrase from. Man don't work. Man don't what?
Eat.
Man don't eat. Amen. Paul told him, he said, look, Thessalonica, I was there with you about 4 weeks. I was there a short time. He said, but I came in there. He said, I was an example. I wasn't disorderly among you. He said, I taught you how to work. I taught you how to labor. I taught you how to travail night and day so that I wouldn't be chargeable to you for the gospel. He said, I'm teaching you by example. This is what you ought to do as well. And then he comes up there in verse 4, not because we have not power. He said, as an apostle, as a sent one, I have every right to be supported by you. Amen.
That's right.
Hey, why? He's giving them the gospel. So he has every right to say, if I'm giving to you, you ought to give to me to help me out to continue doing what I'm doing. Hey, don't you give to your employer time?
Yeah.
And what does your employer give you? Money. He said, in one sense, since if I have wrought to you spiritually, then you ought to give to me materially, basically. And so Paul says, not because I don't have the power. He said, but I wanted to make ourselves an sample or an example unto you to follow us. He said, because if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Amen. Notice what he says over in Acts chapter 20. Go over there. Acts chapter 20. And over here towards the end of his ministry, in Acts chapter 20, he's going to get the group of elders together to in Ephesus. And Acts chapter 20, notice what he says down here in verse number 33. Matter of fact, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice what he says. I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. He's talking to all these leaders of these churches. He said, look, he said, I didn't ask for anything. I didn't ask for your money. I didn't ask for your silver. I didn't ask for your gold. I didn't ask for your clothes. I didn't ask for anything. What did he say down there? He said, yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Paul said, I met my own needs by working. He said, I also helped out those that were with me. So that means he worked for Silas. He worked for Timothy. He might have worked for Barnabas and he might have worked for the others so that they could be supported through him. Glory to God. Talk about a hardworking man. Man, we tell our kids to do something. I'm tired. I didn't put the tissue box there. And your point is, isn't that right, Joshua? No, man, I asked him a question. I said, hey, pick this up or do that. And they say, well, I didn't put it there. And your point is, I didn't ask you who put it there. I asked you to pick it up. But I didn't put it there. Does that make a difference to me? No. Does my heart bleed? No, it does not bleed. pick up that because I told you to pick it up. Paul said, look, you know what? I work not just for me. I work for those that were with me. Hey, parents, we can learn something from that. Our children ought to work not just for themselves, but for others as well. They ought to work for you, and they should work for their brothers and sisters. Amen. That's just a principle that's there. Amen. We do them a disfavor when we only make them do that which they put down. That's selfish. Amen. Hey, look, not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of who? Others, Paul said. Amen. He said in verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul let them know, hey, look, I'm a worker. I'm going to teach you to work. I'm teaching everyone that I've come in contact with that, look, I'm not afraid to work. And by the way, we ought not be afraid to work either. And we ought to also witness while we're working. Amen. So go back over there to Acts chapter 17 or 18. I'm sorry. So Paul had no problem preaching the gospel and working. He incorporated the two. He said, look, I'm going to get a job, and the best thing to do is to whistle while you work. Amen. And by the way, Paul not only talked about working, he lived it, as you can see in those verses there. Amen. And if you think about this, if you're an employer, what type of employee do you want as an employer? Give me some feedback. Jeremiah? Honest one. Amen. Robin? A good one. Amen. Hardworking, amen. Josh? A save one? That would help, amen. Annette? One that's on time, punctual, amen. Definitely on one. He got the clock starts, amen. You got to go, amen. Did he have something he wanted to say, sis? No. Amen. Yeah, Mark?
One that's subordinate.
One that's subordinate, amen. These are all good things. What is smell? If I'm going to hire somebody, what type of person do I want to hire? Jeremiah? Someone that works hard, amen. These are all good things, amen. Anything else? Yes, Annette? A team player, yes, Beth?
Dependable,
has same work ethics, amen. Tara? Someone who wants to, amen. Willing, amen. Would you like to have somebody work for you like this, Terrell? Yeah, what do you want me to do now, boss? Sweep? Why can't you sweep yourself? What do you want me to do now? You want somebody to work for you like that? I'd fire him in a heartbeat. Fired. You're fired, amen. Who's that, Donald Trump? You're fired, amen. You're fired. Get out of here. Paul not only talked about working hard, he lived it. By the way, let me give you this. All the things that we just said, a Christian should be the best employer the guy has. I didn't bite my tongue. The Christian should be the best employee an employer has.
Amen.
Why? We've got God. We've got Jesus in our hearts. Was Jesus not the best servant of servants? Amen. Was he not the best in what he did? And so because we have Christ, we should be the best at our job. Now, I'm not saying no flim-flam and no floozy and let somebody walk all over you. I'm not saying that at all. But we ought to be the hardest worker. We ought to be on time. We ought to be just. We ought to be honest. We ought to be everything. When the boss says, let's do it, let's do it. When he says work overtime, we don't hang our lips down. Do overtime again. You're getting paid for it, ain't you? Amen. Hey, you don't work overtime for free. Now, I do. Amen. And by the way, I don't work overtime for free. I'm getting paid in heaven. Hey, what am I saying? He or she, as a Christian, should be the best worker the employer has. He should have the best attitude, the best manners, the best demeanor. He should be willing to work hard. He should be willing to work late. He should be willing to work overtime. And he should do it all without complaining. Can I get an amen? Now, I know that's convicting because we're not that way all the time. It just says that we have room for improvement. Amen. What does Philippians 2:14 say? Do all things without what? Why I got to be the one to stay late this time? Why can't Frank stay late? Because I asked you. The Christian should never have lip. Why can't Johnny stay late and tighten that thing up? Why can't Susie close this time? Why can't Martha mop the floors? Because I asked you. The Christian should be the best one. I mean, it should be, yes, sir, I'll do this, I'll do this. Hey, I'll tell you, when I was on my job, I wanted to have the best testimony I could possibly have for two basic reasons. Number one, I knew I had a Lord in heaven. But number two, I wanted to see them saved. And I had my boss one time, and my wife can vouch for me, after he got saved. Now, Aaron, this is the one that I told him that God didn't hear his prayers. The same boss. He was over me, and he was over all three of us in there. And so it was him, and it was me, and it was these other two. And I told some of y'all this testimony before. When he got saved, he said, look, he said, I want to be a Christian like you. He said, I don't want to be a Christian like the mother two over there. It was three of us in my job. And the other two were lazy. They were not hard workers. They were complainers. They were bellyachers. They were whiners. He said, well, ain't all y'all saved? Yeah. And all y'all go to the same church? Yeah. Y'all hear the same preacher? Yeah. Well, why are you so different? I said, look, I said, you're going to talk to him about that. I said, I know I'm trying to please my Lord. I'm trying to please my Savior. I'm trying to be a good testimony. I'm trying to live the word of God that I get. I said, I can't answer for them. You got to talk to them. Of course, he didn't ask them. Amen. But he said, well, I want to be the kind of Christian that you are. Man, you don't want somebody to say that in your office about you. You don't want somebody on your street to say that about you. You don't want somebody in your family to say that about you. Well, I don't want to be a Christian like this one. I want to be a Christian like that one. That's a slam on their Christianity. And wait a minute, we all got the same God. We got the same Bible. We got the same Holy Spirit. Everything is the same. But then something's different. You hit the nail on the head. It says the choices. I made a choice not to complain. You say, preacher, did you complain inwardly? Oh, yes, I complained inwardly. Sometimes I was like, man, Lord, I really wanted to go home. But they say, do this. I say, yes. Okay, no problem. I'm saying, Lord, please get me out of this somehow. I really don't want to do this. But they never could tell. It was always positive. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. No, ma'am. Even when they would get on my case about certain things. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. What am I saying? The Christian should be the best worker. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul is demonstrating that to the Corinthian church. He's going to be a worker here that's going to be a witnesser at the same time. Philippians chapter 2. And notice verse 14. Matter of fact, verse 12, this is what my co-workers needed to do. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What did they have to do? They needed to work out the Jesus that was in them because they had the same Jesus that I had. They were just as saved as I was. They was just as filled with the Spirit. Well, I'm not going to say they were just as filled. Amen. I can't go that far. Amen. But they had the same Spirit. Amen. But they had to work that Spirit out of them. Amen. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to what? To will and to what? And to do of what? His good pleasure. So as a result, do how many things? All things without murmuring and disputing. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Why? Without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye what? Shine as lights in the world. Doing what? Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Paul said, you know what? I want you to shine. I want you to do all things without murmuring because people are looking at you. You need to be able to shine. Hey, if you're going to be a good employee, you've got to make sure that you don't murmur. You got to make sure you don't whine. But by the way, this goes for husbands and wives. This goes for children. This goes for daughters. This goes for all of us. Do all things without murmuring. Why? Your Christianity depends on it. Somebody's watching you. And go over one book to Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. And in Colossians chapter 3, notice this in verse number 23. What does Paul say? Verse 23, he says this. And whatsoever you do, do it how? Heartily. What does he mean? He said, put some oomph in it. Don't just clean it. Clean it like it ain't been cleaned before. Don't just tighten it. Tighten it like it never been tightened before. Don't just go like you've never gone before. Don't just clean the glass. Clean it like it's never been cleaned before. I don't know about you, but when you go into a restaurant, how many of y'all like to be served by a good, courteous waiter or waitress? Amen. If you're at the retail store buying something, how do you like it when the retail person, the cash register attendant, is very cordial to you, very nice to you, very personable to you? Or like this, what do you want? Yeah. Yeah, $5. Man, I'd be like, yeah, I'm not coming to this store anymore. I don't know about you, but I like going back to stores where the people are courteous. I'll find a manager and say, you know what, Johnny over there on register 6, man, did a tremendous job. He did a tremendous job. He was very cordial to me. He was very nice to me. He showed me where this was, this was that. I'll say, where's the customer comment cards at? And man, if they did a good job, they're like, oh, wow. If they did a bad job, they're like, we don't have any. We're all out. I don't think we make those here. Amen. Why? I'm going to the customer comment and let them know, hey, look, you need some people skills. That was terrible. That was horrible. Amen. Hey, why? Christians ought to be the best ones. We ought to be the ones that don't complain. We ought to be the ones that shine. We are the ones that do it heartily. Our bosses ought to look to us and say, the Christian is the best worker. Kenny, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I could not leave a place because my boss would not let me go because he said, you're too good of a worker. I cannot let you go. And that now, granted, it was a curse for me. But that does something to my heart to say, hey, look, I'm doing a good job. They don't want to let me go. Woe be it to you. And they say, oh, yes, here you go. I'll help you pack. I'll help you pack. Amen. Bon voyage. See ya. Whew, I'm glad he was gone. Glory, man. It was terrible. That should never be for the Christian. The Christian should always be the one where they don't want you to go. Where they say, man, if you want somebody to work for you, that's the one right there. You know, you're getting a jewel of a person. And when I left the church in Belgium, they did not want me to go. They said, look, we don't want you to go. We don't want you to go. When I left Pastor Nelson, like, I don't want you to go. But guess what? I had to go. But that ought to be the heart. I don't want you to go. And when you are a Christian like Paul was, and Paul is putting out the fact that, you know what? I got no problem preaching the gospel and working at the same time because my work ethic is going to show who I'm working for. I've got a master in heaven. Read the rest of Colossians 3. Notice what he says down there at verse 24. He says, knowing that of who? The Lord ye shall receive what? The reward of the inheritance. For ye serve ultimately who? The Lord Christ. I'm working for Jesus. I'm working for the Lord. Hey, moms, you're raising those children for Jesus Christ. Don't expect a reward down here on earth. Now, they might give you some benefits and some kudos. Amen. Praise God for it. But you're actually working for the Lord. Hey, daddies, we're not working for our children. We're working for the Lord. Hey, we're not working for our employers out there. We're working for the Lord. Hey, we work at the hospitals. We work at the gym clicks. We work at the base. We work at the Walmarts. We work at all these places, at TMC and all the. We don't work for them. We don't work for the Border Patrol. We work ultimately for the Lord. Why? He is who ultimately we answer to. And Paul says, you know what? I don't have a problem working because I know who I answer to. And I'm going to be a good testimony. And whilst I'm working, guess what? I'm still going to preach the gospel. Hey, when I started this church not getting any salary at all. And I worked on that base over there. And I wanted to get as many people saved as I could. I remember Pastor Bennett, when he was over in Belgium, he first got to the mill, he's working at the pizza place. It pained my heart to see my pastor at a pizza place. I'm like, you're my pastor. I don't want you flipping pizzas. You know what he told me, Pastor White? I'll do whatever I need to do to not be a charge to the church. He was over there flipping pizzas. And I'm like, every time I go in, I'm like, I don't want to see my pastor flipping pizzas. I want to see you in the pulpit. There's a difference, pizza and pulpit. They don't mix. But you know what? He said, I don't have a problem flipping pizzas for Jesus. Because I can be a witness out here and reach some people in this pizza parlor that I couldn't reach if I was back at the church. And guess what? He flipped pizzas for Jesus. And I said, my, so Pastor, we got to be able to take you on for support. We got to support you so that you don't flip them pizzas. He said, brother, don't worry about that. God take care of me. What am I saying? He didn't have a problem working. Hey, folks, I don't have a problem working. I remember we had that first church split about the church taking me on for salary. And I said, look, I don't need your money. I'll get on work. I don't have a problem with working. Now, granted, the church had already voted to take me on for support, but there were a couple of bad eggs in the bunch, amen. And I said, you know what? I don't mind working. If it's that much of a problem, I'll do like Paul. I'll make a tent. Now, of course, the church said, you ain't making no tent. We voted on this. This is what's going to stick. Amen. But you know what? I'm like, Paul, I don't have a problem working. And you know what? We shouldn't have a problem working either. And we preach the gospel whilst we work. And people can get saved. Paul said, you know what? I was an example to you down there in Thessalonica. I worked. I not only met my needs, but others. I was a testimony to you folks over there in Ephesus. I didn't covet your apparel. I didn't covet your silver. I didn't covet your gold. I worked, and I supported not just myself, but others around me so that you wouldn't be charged. We'll give you an example. Don't be afraid to work. Why? We got a master in heaven. And folks, we ought to be the best testimony that we can be, whether it's working at home with our children, whether it's working out in the world with the world. We ought to be the best testimony. That's what's going to stick in the end, is that saying, I'm serving the Lord. I'm not working for people. By the way, people let you down. Paul would be the first one to tell you that. They stoned him, run him out of town. You know what he did? He'd go to the next place and preach the gospel again. Set up camp again. You know, people let you down, but Jesus never let you down. So if you're working for Jesus, you're always working for the right person, because he will never let you down. When you don't get that bonus, when you don't get that gift, when you don't get whatever it is, Jesus will always meet your need. Amen. Folks, let's keep that in mind as we look at some things next time we get together. Paul had no problems preaching the gospel and working, and we should have any problems either. We should be the best employers that we can possibly be. You know, we should have the mindset of, you know what? Would to God everybody work like I did. Let me say that again. We should have the mindset, I would to God everybody else work like I did. Everybody else worked as hard as I did. Everybody else was as punctual as I am. Everybody else did what I did. What kind of place would it be if everybody worked like you did? And that can be convicting, but that also can be encouraging. If everybody did like you did, what kind of job atmosphere would you have? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. God, help us to reflect upon Paul and his commitment to the gospel and working. He had no problem working. He wanted to be the best that he could be for you. He served the Lord Christ. Help us to recognize we serve you as well, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. And Lord, I pray that when it's all said and done, we know that we'll get the reward of the inheritance in glory. Help us now, Lord, as we leave tonight, give us safety in our traveling to different destinations. Help us with the affairs of the weekend, Lord, with the baby shower that will take place. Heavy hands upon Miss Shirley as she goes in for her outpatient surgery on Friday. Lord, we pray that you would get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Help us, Lord, though, to leave here and go home, Lord, and purposely say, I'm going to be better at my job. I'm going to be better in my school. I'm going to be better in my home. I'm going to serve the Lord Christ. I'm going to be a worker for Jesus' sake, because I'm born again, because I'm saved, because I know God in heaven will see everything, and he'll reward me. I'm not working for man. I'm working for the Master, the Messiah, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to have that heart that Paul had to say, I'm going to preach and work no matter what. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand to our feet. Pastor White, give us any last-minute instructions that we need for the weekend, and dismiss us with your blessing, sir.